Zach, we're going to go ahead and leave the service to you there.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Zach, it's been a pleasure having you. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Romans chapter 3. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And I want to thank everybody for the hospitality and the gifts that I've been given and all the good meals that have been prepared. I just want to thank y'all for all that. And I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I want to preach tonight on the subject, self-righteous Christianity. Self-righteousness. In the book of Romans chapter 2 and verse 25 is where I'll start reading, and I'll stop reading in verse 29. The Bible says, "For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter in circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." And I want to preach out of those last two verses that I read. He said, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Whenever you read this text, he says that they're not Jews which are one outwardly, which gives us the idea of people doing eye service for Christianity. Ephesians 6, 6 through 7, the Bible says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." There's a lot of people that try to appear righteous. Matthew 23, 27 through 28. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." And that's what he said in Matthew 23. He said, "Your circumcision is not one which is outward in the flesh." Outward, of course, means that you're trying to do things for eye service, to be a man pleaser. That you're trying to do things to please men, to appear good and to appear righteous. And he said that they try to appear outward in the flesh. They try to appear righteous outwardly in the flesh, which means that you try to appear outward in this body. That you might put on righteousness, that you might try to work up your own righteousness, that you might try to be self-righteous. The Bible says that, of course, your flesh is your body. And he said, "For two shall be one flesh." That's what your body is. And he said that your flesh and your body is the same thing, of course. But you're trying to please men on the outward appearance. You're trying to do things outwardly so people can see that you're righteous. That's why a lot of people attend church. That's why a lot of people dress different whenever they come to church. There's a lot of people that are dressed one way at the house. They'll dress one way out in public. But when they come to church, they'll dress differently. And the reason why you do that is because you try to appear righteous on the outside. But inwardly, the Bible says you're full of dead men's bones on the inside. Inwardly, you're ravening and wolves. Inwardly, you despise God's righteousness. You try to put on your own righteousness. You try to get your you try to work your way to heaven. A lot of people trying to do that these days, trying to work their way to heaven, try to appear good on the outside. And let me say this. This is what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, I believe chapter 64. He said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what he said. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. You can't do nothing with a filthy rag. Whenever you have a rag that's filthy and you've made it filthy down at the house and And you've used it to, you may have used it to wash the tires and everything, and it's all black and it's nasty. You'll throw it away because you can't use it to clean anything inside your house. You can't use it to clean any cups. You can't use it to clean any bowls because it's worthless and it's done away with. And that's what your righteousness is. That's what your self-righteousness is, the Bible teaches us. You may think that you're good. You may try to put on good. You may try to seem like you're a good Christian person. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. If you're a hypocrite, your righteousness is as filthy rags. If you've never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, your righteousness is filthy rags. If you've never been born again, your deeds, your actions, your church membership, your baptism, whatever you're trying to do to get to heaven is worthless in the eyes of Almighty God. And let me tell you something, there's a lot of people that are self-righteous in their Christianity. He said, the Bible teaches us that there's a danger in self-righteousness. There's people that appear good on the outside, but you're ravening wolves on the inside. You'll come to church and you'll act like you're a good person. But can I just let you know one thing, my friends, tonight? That the devil goes to church. You say, I'm good, I go to church. So does the devil. You'll find that in the book of Job. He said, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. You say, I'm a good person. I cry and I worship God. I might tremble. Guess what? The Bible says that the devils fear and tremble. You're as good as the devil is. Most people that come to church are just as good as the devil is. You say, well, I talk to God. So does the devil. You're just as good as what the devil is if you're trying to get to heaven outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, outside of being born again, outside of being saved by the grace of Almighty God. That's what the Bible teaches us. There's a danger in self-righteousness. There's a lot of people in the Bible that were trying to criticize an adulterous woman one day, and they brought her before Jesus and they said, this woman's an adulterous woman. She deserves to be stoned. What do you say about it, Jesus? And Jesus said, if there's anyone here without sin, let him cast the first stone. There's a lot of people that were standing there. This lady's an adulterous woman. This lady's a vile woman. But little did they know that Jesus knew that these same people that are criticizing this lady for being an adulterous woman, these men are adulterous as well. Because they thought that it was okay, you know, if they found a woman that was better than the one that they had, they could just put her off because they said Moses wrote a billing of divorce, but they'd put their wife away because they wanted some other woman and they'd marry her, and they were caught up in the same lust and the same sin as what that lady was in. There's a lot of people that like to sit around and criticize other people, that like to sit around and run their mouths about other people, but inwardly they're just as wicked and ungodly as those sinners. There's a lot of times we could run down to the stores and see people covered in their tattoos, and they may not be dressed right, and they may not look just right, and they may not just talk just right, but at least they're not trying to be hypocrites like some people are. At least they're not trying to put it on the outside. And a lot of women and a lot of men will go home to their husbands and wives, and they'll cuss and fight and do everything that's ungodly when they're at home. You want to know why? Because you're a hypocrite, the Bible says. Dangers in unrighteousness. There's people that love Jesus. They love the Jesus that makes them feel good. They love the Jesus that makes them look good. There's a bunch of different Jesuses in the world today. There's a lot of different Jesuses, and I know some people that love the Jesus that makes them always right, and they can take that Bible and make them look so good, and they can have all the answers to defend themselves, and they're always right, and everybody's always wrong except for them. I tell you why, because they're hypocrites, and inwardly they're ravening wolves on the inside. That's what the Bible teaches us. There's a lot of people that are just too good to stay in some churches. I remember one time I got a call on my cell phone, and it was somebody that passed by our church sign and saw our number. Of course, the number was mine, and they called me.
And they said, well, we're just having problems with our church and we want to go somewhere else. And I was just grieved on the inside whenever I got that phone call. And they began to tell me all the problems with the other churches that they'd been to, all the problems that they had with the preacher, all the problems that they had, you know, with, you know, everything that was going on in the church. And then they'd skip and go to another church because no church is ever good enough for them. Let me tell you something. If you're trying to find a perfect church to get in there and get saved, the minute that you step in the back door, that church is unperfect. The minute that you step in, that church has become defiled and ungodly and sinful and devilish. The moment that you step in, it's exactly right. Self-righteousness. No church is good enough for you. Nobody's a good enough Christian for you. Everybody's hypocrites except for you. I remember whenever I first started preaching, I just wanted everybody to do right. So there was a lot of people, you know, there was boys that I'd try to make them do things that they just didn't want to do on the inside. And they painted up on the outside, but they were wicked on the inside. I can remember one girl that came to our church and I started talking to her about how she should dress, especially when she came to church. I told her that she needed to stop wearing pants and she needed to start wearing dresses all the time. And, you know, and I just went on, so she did it. She started dressing really, really nice and dressed really, really good for about 6 months. And then she left church and she never came back. And she's had kids outside of marriage and everything else that goes along with it. So there's a lot of people that are self-righteous on the inside. But inwardly, you're a ravening wolf. Inwardly, you're full of sin and rebellion and stubbornness and ungodliness deep down on the inside. You try to play church. You try to play righteousness. You try to play God. You try to act like you're spiritual. But inwardly, you're a ravening wolf, and you're filled with dead men's bones on the inside. I know a young man that used to come to our church. He thought that he was better than everybody because he wore nicer clothes. And he you know, he had nice shirts and he had nice clothes and he had nice shoes. So he looked down on other people that didn't dress quite as nice as him. Let me tell you something. It's self-righteousness in the eyes of Almighty God. People think that they had no sin. And the Bible says, if you say that you had no sin, you're a liar. And God's word is not in you. May I say, there's been a lot of people that have told me and said things about me. Let me tell you something. They've never scratched the surface of how wicked and ungodly Zach Vernon is. You'll never scratch the surface. There's a lot of things that you can say about me that's a lie. And let me tell you something. And most of the time, it wouldn't bother me. But it's the things that when you start telling the truth, let me tell you something. You don't know half of it. You don't know half the story whenever you start talking about me. And let me tell you something, if you think that you're any better than that, you're nothing but a hypocrite. You're a liar, you're lying to yourself. He that says that he has no sin is a liar and God's word is not in him. People say that I'm good, I had no sin, I'm just as righteous as I can be. You're a liar and God's word is not in you. Let me tell you something, there's a lot of sinners that think that they had no sin, but you're a liar and God's word is not in you. If you had no sin, then you would never die. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the wages of sin is death. There's a lot of people that think they're awful sinless, but they still go down to the grave whenever they die. They're a liar and God's word is not in them. There's a lot of people that are self-righteous, but he said in his word that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no case, in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Pharisees, they dressed up a whole lot better than most people in here. The Pharisees, they lived a whole lot cleaner than most people in here. And Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no case, in no wise, under any circumstance, enter into heaven. But you have to have the righteousness of God imputed unto you, which is through Jesus Christ our Lord. In order for you to be saved, you've got to have the righteousness of God. What is God's righteousness? You've got to have the blood shed on your account. You've got to receive Jesus Christ's righteousness. Jesus died for you, and Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. And while you try to work in your self-righteousness, and while you try to work in all of your deeds and all of your abilities to try to get to heaven, Jesus said, that's not good enough. You've got to have my righteousness. You've got to realize that you're a sinner. You've got to realize that you're not good enough to get into heaven, that you've got to have Jesus' righteousness. You've got to have His righteousness, not your self-righteousness. There's a lot of people that are self-righteous. There's a lot of people that serve God to please men. He said in the Bible, Jesus was talking and He said, they stand out in the middle of the streets and they'll begin to blow their trumpets so that everybody can hear them pray. And they pray such beautiful prayers and they know how to say just the right words and they know how to put on spirituality and they know how to just look like a good Christian. And I know a whole lot of people like that. They know how to put that Christianity on, and when they leave out of the church doors, they're a totally different person. But when they step in here, man, they sure know how to act and they sure know how to do everything just right. And they sure know how to sing the songs just right. They sure know how to shake your hand and have a smile on their face and act like they're such a good Christian, but they leave out of the church and they're a totally different person. They know how to pray. He said whenever they go to fast, they'll disfigure their faces so that they'll appear to fast. That's what Jesus said. He said that they'll begin to pay their alms and they do it so that everybody can notice. And I've met people that they want to give a lot of money so that they can be recognized, so that they can be noticed. And that's good enough. That'll make them look good. That'll make God think that they're really good people. I know people that are men worshipers. Men worshipers. I've met young people. I've met older people that they're saved because, you know, that they might have confessed that they were a sinner to a man, or that they might have told another man, you know, I've committed this. And because they told somebody that was a man that they had committed a sin, or that they needed to be saved, because they told that man, that made them, you know, saved. And they put all their confidence in men, and they worship men, and it's all about other men. And as long as they can follow other men, and as long as those men think that they're good, and as long as the other church people think that they're good, as long as everybody else sees that I'm good, as long as everybody else sees that I'm righteous, that makes it okay. Makes it okay. I know a young man. There was a man supposed to come preach at our church, and he had already been booked. But he was being drove around by another young man that he had to go worship some other preacher. And as a result of it, that preacher couldn't come by our church and preach. Why? Because he was worshiping another man. And that preacher that was in the car with him wasn't as good as the other preacher, because what he had to say apparently wasn't important. That's what the other preacher had to say. There's a lot of people that worship men and are so concerned about pleasing other men. There's people that live for God and go to church and they pretend to be spiritual just so that they can please men. And there's people that are sitting in this building, no doubt, you're guilty of the same thing. You'll put on one thing when you go to church, but when you go home, you're a totally different person. And the actuality of it is that your friends think that you're a hypocrite. Some of your children might think that you're a hypocrite. And may I say, my friends, the Bible tells you that you're a hypocrite. You act one way at home, but you act another way in front of other people. Why? Because you try to serve men and please men. The Bible tells us that they tried to do eye service, that they might be men pleasers, that they might please men, that they're concerned about what men have to say. And that's how a lot of people that are in our churches today act. They just want to please men. They just want to put on that spirituality. They just want everybody else to recognize them. They just want everybody else to notice that they're righteous, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. I remember, it's a funny story because it's a man in my family. One day he was at work and he was talking to his wife on the phone. And he started talking to her and he began to cuss his wife. I mean, he began to let her have it. My dad was standing there. My dad was just a little boy and he's sitting there and just shocked. Well, the funniest thing in the world happened. An evangelist that knew the man walked in the door immediately and heard that man saying what he was saying. Just sit there and stared at him and watched him as he finished the rest of his phone conversation. And when that evangelist came in, all of a sudden his tone changed and he just knew how to speak just right to his wife all of a sudden. And man, all of a sudden he just loved his wife and everything, and you know, everything in life was okay. But that evangelist saw it and knew it. Why? 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 Because a lot of times we're more interested in pleasing men than we are pleasing God. And we become hypocrites. We become phonies. We become fakes. And we might appear good on the outside, but we're filled with dead men's bones on the inside. That's what the Bible says. Let me tell you something lastly, that you should always obey God before obeying men. You should always obey God before obeying men. Saul was a man that was the king of Israel. And one day God told him to go into a country. And he said, I want you to go in and I want you to kill everything and everybody, because it was a people that had been cursed. He said, I want you to go in, I want you to kill everything. Kill their goats, kill their sheep, kill everything that is on that property. Everything's to die. Kill the king, you kill everything, God said. And Saul said, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to kill everything. So Saul went in and he began to see all the gold. He began to see all the sheep. He began to see all the good. And he saw the king and he spared the king's life. And he spared the sheep's life. And he spared all the best of the fox and he brought it back with him. And one day, the prophet of God went down to him and he said, I want you to know one thing, that God sent me here. He said, I've got all these sheep and I've got all these animals. I've got the king. And I've done all that because I'm going to sacrifice it to God. And the lesson of the story was that it's better to obey God than to sacrifice. He said it's better to obey God than to do anything that this world may tell you. It's more important to obey God than to obey man any day. It don't matter how much they offer you. It don't matter how much they might offer to give you. It don't matter how much they have for you. It's better to obey God any day than to obey man. There's a lot of churches that don't like the truth, my friends, but let me tell you something. I'm not going to compromise by the grace of God for any of these churches, for any of these preachers, for any of these church members, by God's grace, that I might please them. I'd rather obey God any day than to obey any man, because a man's blessings will be temporal, but the blessings of God are forever. Amen. I'd rather obey God any day. Rather obey God. What about Elijah that went to that widow woman that had that son, and God told him to tell that woman to give him some of that food to eat, and she didn't have any left. She just had just enough to feed her and her son. And she did it anyway. She obeyed God. And as a result, God refilled all of the oil and refilled all the food that she had. Multiplied it. Many, many times God did it. She obeyed God. It's better to obey God than to obey man. It's better to obey what God has to say. It's better to obey God's word than what any man has to say any day. What about Abraham whenever he left to go out to Canaan's land to find God? And he went out and everybody asked him, well, Abraham, where are you going? I don't know, wherever God tells me to stop. He went out despite all the criticism, went out despite all the odds. He went out despite all the things that, you know, all the doubts that could come into somebody's mind. He believed God and he believed what God said and he obeyed what God had to say. And he got so close to God and he obeyed God that he would go out, and he was so close to God that God would tell him, I want you to go out in the middle of this desert land and there's going to be a place where I want you to dig a well. And Abraham would begin to dig and all of a sudden water would begin to spring up. That's how close to God he was. Would you imagine if our church people would be so close to God that if God told you to dig a well in the ground, the water would spring up? Could you imagine that if we could be that close to God? It's better to obey God any day than to obey man. Amen. Any day. I know a lot of preachers of old, you know, some of the old preachers that aren't even alive anymore. I like to listen to them, listen to the recordings of them. But there's some preachers that have impacted my life where they just did things that you would think were crazy. They just obeyed God every time he spoke to them. I know a preacher. It's crazy. He went to the Southern Baptist Convention, and R.G. Lee at the time, back in the 1950s, was the Southern Baptist Convention leader. He was the president of it. Invited this preacher to come in by the name of Dr. Percy Ray. And by the time he got to the platform, God said, I want you to throw your shoes off. I want you to shout down the middle of the aisle. And he said, I want you to go on the front steps and I want you to shout. By the time he got out to the front steps of the church, there was people that were coming out from the streets. About 165 people got saved. Because he obeyed God and he sat there in his seat and he said, Lord, what about all these big preachers? What about all these big wigs? What about all these big shots that have these big churches? They'll think that I'm crazy. A man that decided to obey God rather than to obey man. May I say it's always better to obey God than to obey man any day. There's a lot of people when I began to preach that told me that I shouldn't do it because I'd have better opportunities if I went to college. And I had better opportunities than if I went to school. I had better opportunities than if I went off and did whatever I wanted to do. And I did my own will and I went and did my own thing. But I found out that it's 10 times better, 1,000 times better to obey God any day than to obey man. They said you'll be broke all your life. I've yet been in need of food. I've yet been in need of the money to pay my bills. They said that you'll be broke all your life and you won't have anywhere to live and you'll not ever be able to get married because you're so broke. And I have a wife today and God's provided our needs and we've seen God provide our needs and we've seen God bless us. I've been to meetings where I didn't have any money and I was on my way broke and I didn't hardly have enough money to pay rent, where a preacher stood up in the middle of the church and he said, I just want to take up an offering for that young man, and he took up a $500 offering just enough so that we could pay the rent on our house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This world may think that we're crazy. Let me tell you something. It's 1,000 times better to obey God any day than to obey the men of this world, to obey all the preachers, to obey all the theologians, to obey all the government, to obey everybody else. It's 10 times better to obey God any day. It's much better. It's much better. People think that you're crazy for trying to help out on people that need help. People whose lives are wrecked and ruined and destroyed. People think that you're crazy. But I found out a long time ago that it's a whole lot better to obey God and try to rescue the perishing and care for the dying than to care about what anybody has to say. There's a lot of people that think that they're too good to win somebody that's a whoremonger or a whore or a harlot or a dopehead or a drunkard or any of the rest of them. There's a whole lot of people that think that they're too good to let these kind of people come into their churches. But I decided a long time ago with some of these lowlifes and some of these scumbags, I'd rather be friends with them any day than to be friends with some of the big wigs and some of the big shots and some of the big dogs in the churches. Let me tell you something, it's better to obey God any day than to obey any man. There's been men that will try to keep you from being saved. There'll be men that will try to keep you from getting born again. There'll be men that try to keep you from being all that you can be for God. What about those people that were out there in the land of that were in the land of Egypt? They got delivered, crossed over the Red Sea, were out there in the wilderness for 40 long years, and God said, I want you to send spies over there and I want y'all to spy out the land to see the land of Canaan. They came back and they said, my, it is as beautiful as what God said, a land that flows with milk and honey. But there was many of the men, all except for two, came back and said that we can't go over there because the giants in the land, because the giants in the land are so big, we'll never be able to take that land over. What God has told us to take over, we'll never be able to do. So they held all those people back from ever going into Canaan's land. There's going to be a lot of people that try to hold you back, that try to hinder you, that try to keep you from being everything that you ought to be. I remember when I first started preaching, people began to tell me that I shouldn't read my Bible as much, that it was going to make me crazy, that I was going to get tired of the things of God, that you shouldn't pray as much as what you've been praying because you'll get tired of praying and you'll not want to pray anymore. And I found out whenever I stopped and obeyed them and did what they said, I got tired of praying. Whenever I started obeying what they said, I got weary. Got weary spiritually. Whenever you give God everything and you pray like He says pray, and you study like He says study, and you do everything that God wants you to do, God will make a difference in your life. There will be a lot of people that try to hold you back. There's a lot of people that will try to keep you from getting saved. There's a lot of things that will try to hinder you. But I wouldn't care what anybody has to say. It's better to obey God any day and to take His word and study His word and find out what God has for your life. Study the Bible and find out what God says about your life. Study the Bible and see what God has for you. And God will change your life. It's better to obey God any day than to obey any man. whatsoever. They'll criticize, they'll run their mouth, they'll say things, they'll try to cut you down, but it's better to obey God any day than to obey any man.
Amen.
I'm done.
Sit up, if you would. Come sit right up here in the front. We're going to have a song and we're going to go. Sit up here while we sing.